Well, this morning I'm chatting to Raymond Cugnoglio, who is the owner of The Piano Man, and the subject today is the piano, history, construction, tuning and the care of it. Welcome to you, Raymond.
Thank you so much, Tamara, and to all your listeners. It's lovely to be on air with you.
Well, shall we start off with the history of the piano and how it developed? Because I have a feeling that it started with the harpsichord, am I right?
That's correct. Mm. Yeah, the initial instrument that was closest to the piano is the harpsichord, mm-hmm. and a man called Bartolomeo Cristofori was the first inventor of what we call the piano today.
Yes.
And the difference was that a harpsichord has a little quill that plucks a string, whereas a piano has a hammer that actually hits the string, and that allows you to play it loud and soft. So that's why the name was pianoforte. And there are still two pianofortes that he originally built. One is in America and one is in Europe.
Okay.
But
forte meaning?
Sorry?
And forte meaning?
Piano soft, forte loud. So it is a loud soft. That's the name of the instrument.
All right, okay. Well, I think there are a lot of people who might not know that, so that it's all very interesting. In terms of how it then developed across, because I think it really started out in Europe, didn't it?
It did start in Europe. He was Italian, of course, and I'm also Italian, so I'm very proud of that.
Yes.
But then Gilbert Silbermann was the next developer of the piano. Now, just interesting that Bach hated Cristofori's piano.
Oh, really?
But Silbermann's piano, the developments that he made and the developments he made Bach enjoy the piano. So that was the first time the piano as such became an instrument that some of the well-known composers started to enjoy.
Mm.
And from there the developments continued.
What year are we talking about?
We're still talking the 1700s.
Okay.
In the 1800s it started really take off. And we find that there were about 400 piano manufacturers in Germany in the early 1800s, and that began to explode. Interesting enough, the first real best piano maker, we can say, was an English company called John Broadwood and Sons. And from then it went back to Germany and then eventually to America, where we know Steinway is today.
Yes, it certainly seems to have continued to develop. Is there a difference between those early instruments and the ones that are produced today in terms of sound?
In terms of sound, definitely. The initial instruments were very quiet. Most of them only had a single string.
Okay.
And the material for the hammer was often leather, whereas today it's made of felt. And South Africa's supply of that wool, merino wool, is used for that. Of course, the sound is much better. The whole construction of the piano has developed very scientifically. So you get a much better sound today out of pianos than you would have a piano in Bach's time, or even Beethoven and Liszt's time, and Chopin's time. Chopin and Liszt were renowned for actually destroying pianos because of the construction of the piano was with a wooden frame in those days, and they couldn't take the pounding that these artists did on when they played. And so that began the origin of then the steel frame, and where we get today what we call the cast iron frame, which now can take between 17 to 19 tons of pressure on it.
So. Wow. Immediately as you're speaking, I'm just thinking of da-da-da-da, you know, and the
Beethoven's
sort of force
fifth.
That perhaps would be brought to bear on that machine if it was softer than one today.
That's correct.
Interesting.
Yes. So, and also, even the construction of the cabinet and so on was different. So, I mean, the whole construction of the piano just could not take what these artists were requiring of it at the times. And, of course, that forced technology to move ahead. And often that's when technology does move ahead, when people are forced into a corner.
Yeah.
And we have the same thing today, because pianos as such are being competed with so many other different types of instruments, including TV and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So it's forcing even the piano industry today to make changes. You know.
But what sort of changes are they making to the original now today in order to keep abreast or to keep them being sold?
Okay, let's just talk about the piano itself. A normal acoustic piano today might have carbon fiber parts in it, which are much more stable than wood, because wood reacts to humidity and temperature, so it changes. We even get pianos that have a carbon fiber soundboard, which sounds drastic or terrible to any classical music lover.
Yeah.
And we have pianos that actually have a glass soundboard, you know. Although they're not very popular, they haven't taken off that well, but definitely carbon fiber parts.
Mm.
The second thing we find is that we get this explosion of digital pianos, electronic pianos coming out today. And the latest development is what they call a transacoustic piano, which is actually an acoustic piano, but it has electronic instruments into it, and the soundboard, the actual wood soundboard, the piano, is used as the speaker. So you can actually play it like a piano with the same intonation, soft and loud, and the same expression, which pianists feel they lack on a digital piano.
Mm.
And you can add with it an electronic piano or an organ or strings, whatever combination of voices you want.
Okay, interesting. Mm. Now, shall we just sort of rewind slightly and just talk about the construction of pianos? How
yes.
are they constructed? We know that they hit the note with a hammer.
Yes, that's now in the action, but let's go a couple of steps back.
Mm-hmm.
So the first and most critical part of any piano is the soundboard. The soundboard was originally made of only Sitka spruce, which is a slow-growing tree with fine grain. So it's got a light
Dense.
Grain and a dark grain.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of that makes it ideally suited, because the dark grain is strong. So in other words, it's made in a concave shape, in a crown, and that allows it to hold its shape. Whereas the soft grain vibrates nicely. So you want something that is stable, and yet it can vibrate. And so that's what allows the piano's tone to be made. So that's the very first part
Both
of the piano.
Both woods in one tree?
No, it is one tree. It's just
it
that you have slow growing years and faster growing years.
Okay,
so
got it.
The slow growing years are darker grain, and the faster growing years are lighter grain, which the combination of that, as I say, allows it to vibrate very nicely.
Okay.
So that's the soundboard. The next part of the construction is the frame, which is made up of wooden beams around which they bend then the rim. Okay, so that now forms your piano, and then on top of that they then mount the cast iron frame, which is now be able to carry the tension of the thing. Then underneath the frame you have your pin block. I know these are all very technical terms, and I hope I'm not making it too technical, but in the pin block the pins are then inserted. And around the pins, then you get the strings.
Mm.
Okay, so that is now your main part of your piano, except the working parts, which is called the action. Then you get the action, which is now your hammer and all the moving parts. Interesting enough, there's about 6,000 moving parts in any one piano.
Is that so?
Yes. Pieces of felt and wood and wire and springs and so on. That makes up the action of the piano.
Yes.
And there are companies today that specialize just in making actions, you know.
So I'm just assuming that frame is what makes it so heavy.
The cast iron frame is what makes a piano exceptionally heavy. And it can be anywhere from about 300 kilograms up to a full concert grand can be 750 kilograms, which is quite a weight.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm just supposing that all these different moving parts and in fact the construction, which sounds incredibly complicated, is what makes it so expensive.
Yes. A piano, you know, it takes about 3 years from the time that the wood is cut until that piano finally comes together. The wood has to be seasoned and dried, so the wood takes the longest in the whole process. They can actually assemble pianos, you know, in less than a month. Some companies do it almost in a week, but the actual construction from beginning to end is about 3 years before it comes out as the piano as we know it.
All is explained. Let's go on to talk about tuning. I got into horrible trouble the other day in September, I think, because we had a piano tuner in to look at the piano, and he said that, you know, how long ago was it? I said, oh, a couple of years ago. He said, it's 9.
Terrible.
He was cross with, cross with me. How important is, well, obviously tuning is important because you can hear it when it is out of tune. But how often should one do this, and who should one call?
A piano that's in a home, we suggest, should be tuned at least once a year. However, twice a year is probably better for a piano. And that might sound ridiculous to some people, but think of this. You've got a summer season which is hot, and depending where you are in the country, it's hot and humid.
Mm.
And then you've got a winter season which is cold and dry. Or if you're in Cape Town, it's the other way around. And so because a piano is made of natural materials, they'll swell and shrink. So that affects the tuning. Talking about 9 years, I had a customer once who, when I went to them, said, oh, this piano never goes out of tune. I think it was tuned about 30 years ago.
Really?
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and what happens is, it sounds reasonably in tune, but it's just now sunk lower and lower and lower, So that's actually nowhere near what we call today concert pitch.
Okay. Well, so it's really important. And I suppose given the heat in this country, you know, if you reckon that this is an instrument that was invented in Europe, which is horribly cold often. And yes, there's a lot of rain, but you don't get that humidity that's combined with that comes from the heat, the combination, particularly in Johannesburg
and Pretoria, or Gauteng. We are very lucky. You know, we actually have quite a mild climate here. Whereas if you go to the coast, it's much worse. And especially if you go up north into Mozambique and so on, it's terrible. Yeah. The humidity factor really causes chaos with the pianos.
Right. Now, the person who comes along to tune, the tuner.
Yes, piano tuner.
Piano tuner who comes along. Have they always worked in the same way?
Not at all.
Have they always been...
Okay. If we go back into the history, but can I give a bit of technical detail quickly first? So a piano is tuned, and there are 12 notes in the Western scale, as we call it. So between 1A and the following A, if we say the first A, let's, for example, just say it's 100 hertz, as music is, a sound is measured by. The following A would be at 200 hertz. But however, now you've got 12 notes in between there. And that's very difficult now to get the combination right. How do you know where those notes in between should be? So in the beginning, it was very difficult. Pianos were tuned in all sorts of different ways. I mean, there wasn't the communication that we have today. So the piano tuner in Germany had no idea what the piano tuner was doing in France, etc. Okay. So for musicians, it was very taxing. If they traveled a lot, they could get to another piano which sounded totally different to the one that they
And it's not like tuning a violin or a guitar.
No, not at all.
Because of which you can do yourself.
Okay, because of the difference in ratios, we get what we call the Pythagorean comma, which is very difficult because now your sharps, at one stage, interesting enough, the sharp and the flat note, which are actually the same note, were tuned differently. So they had two notes for the black notes, one for the sharp and one for the flat, just because of the way they tried to work out this Pythagorean comma to get the tuning right. Bach came along then with what we call the well temperament. And that was the first sort of step to consolidating how we tune pianos. Mm. So that system had unequal fifths, and that sounded good in most major and minor keys, except every now and then you got what you call wolf notes. Okay, so that eventually had to be eradicated, and it was only in the late 1800s where we started to standardize tuning as we know it today. Okay. And now we have what we call equal temperament, where each note is tempered slightly to fit into that octave between the one A and the next A.
Right. Mm. Now, a piano that's virtually never played, does that make a big difference as to how often one should tune it? Or is it something, you know, if it just stands idle, is there a difference between if it's played every day?
Yes, there's a great difference. However, many people, you walk into the home and they say, wow, you know, I've looked after this piano for many years. When last was it tuned? Oh, about 5 or 6 years ago. And that actually is bad for a piano. Yes. Just like a guitar or a violin, when you play it, it allows the wood to start resonating. So a piano that stands without being played, it also loses some of its tone capacity. Besides that, there's always the problem that moths or rats and so on could get into the piano and destroy some of the felts. You know.
Right. Raymond, just boil it all down to what happens here in South Africa, and in terms of the piano tuners that we have here, because very often I think people do leave it way too long, and they're suddenly rushing around trying to find one, and it is a problem because there aren't that many around. Do you agree with that?
Yes, in South Africa we have a big problem as far as piano tuning is concerned for two reasons. Number one, there are not that many piano tuners, and many of them are getting old and retiring. And the second reason is that there's no official training has been done for quite a few years.
Oh, really?
So there are no young guys who are coming up and learning the trade. And it's a different sort of trade. I mean, most young people today don't consider piano tuning as a career at all. Mm. It's only the unusual ones that are interested in something like piano tuning. Mm. However, the industry at one stage was very big. And there were piano tuners all over South Africa. There is a guild, the South African Association of Pinatuners.
So can one go to them for advice as to who to use?
Yes, they have a website, which you're very welcome to go and have a look at. Mm-hmm. And that would tell you where is a pinatuner in your area.
It's a piano tuning guild, is it?
Yes.
Website, okay.
Yes. I would have to look a bit later the actual...
I'm sure one could Google it.
Yes, you can Google
it. You can Google everything.
You can Google it, almost anything.
Okay. And in terms of attracting people to this, well, one has to say it, rather dying art, if you like. What is being done in order to attract people?
Very little, unfortunately. Although there is a SAQWA qualification now, there is no real training school, so it's only up to individual piano tuners if they're willing to take on apprentices. I have 3 apprentices at the moment who are learning under me. And then when they have finished their course, they need to do the exams of the guild to be qualified. And my suggestion is also that they go overseas and do exams overseas as well. You know. There was a school in South Africa, and it was the Pioneer School, but it was a school for the blind. So that's why in South Africa, we've got the anomaly that about 80% of the piano tuners are blind or visually impaired tuners. Mm. Whereas when the first time I went overseas, I was blown over because I couldn't find any blind piano tuners. Most of them are sighted.
Really?
Yes. And that's because there it's different to South Africa. They've got colleges and universities where you can learn the trade. You could do it as a 3-year course and you're a qualified piano tuner and technician. You know.
I have to say that the sort of piano tuner before last, the chap was blind. Obviously, that creates a difficulty because you've got to get around, so you need somebody to drive you, I'm assuming.
Most blind piano tuners have an assistant who drives them, who also has some of the technical skills so he can help them with repairs. One of my apprentices is a visually impaired person, and yes, I realize it's quite difficult for them to grasp certain things, especially in the repair side, because you've got to work with your hands, and we see so easily, we take it for granted, but it's very difficult. They've got to feel everything and then judge whether it needs to be repaired or what the problem is.
I'm just wondering, obviously, if you're a tuner, do you have to have perfect pitch?
Okay, this is another great anomaly, I think.
Yes.
What is perfect pitch? Because, I mean, you say perfect pitch is, say, for example, what we call concert pitch, A is 440. Yes. Now, if A is 442, could a person with perfect pitch hear the difference? I don't think so. You know. So perfect pitch might allow you to say, oh, that's A. That note, oh yes, that's also an A, I can hear that. You know. Though you don't have to have perfect pitch to be a piano tuner at all. Yes, you must be able to hear, and we listen to certain beats. That's how piano tuning is done. You listen to the beats between various intervals, seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, and so on. And that's how we can judge whether a piano is in tune or not.
Yes.
Though you must be able to set, of course, the first note, and from there you can do all the rest by ear.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Now, in terms of the Piano Man, which is your company, you've said you're Italian. What's the history of your family and pianos?
Unfortunately, I wish I could say that my father was a piano tuner and a tradition of piano tuners, but he was a mechanic and he fixed cars. So my mother was a very good pianist, so I started learning piano from when I was very small, and so I guess that created my love. But after school, I studied to become an accountant because that's where you make money. You don't make money in music.
Real job.
Yes.
Okay.
And eventually, I was doing the books at a music shop. And every time I went there, I'd play the piano. And the owner eventually said to me, "What are you doing?" He says, "You're musical. Come into the music industry." And I said, "Oh, I don't know if there's anything, you know, make money in the music." And he said, "Yes, if it's your passion, it can work for you." And so I eventually took a great leap and changed. And gradually learnt the trade, difficult way. As I say, there was no formal training, so I had to go from one piano tuner to the next and learn this way. Eventually got overseas as well, and in the States. And then guys in the guild here helped me, and eventually did the exams and passed, and there I am. I've been doing that now for 35 odd years.
Wow. Well, yes, that's certainly a great recommendation, 35 years. Well, whereabouts is the Piano Man?
The Piano Man is based in Pretoria.
Yes.
So we service all the way from Maputo to Botswana up to Zimbabwe, Northern Free State, so the whole of this northern part of Southern Africa. is what we do. I have nearly 17 people that work for me.
Okay.
There are 3 full-time piano tuners on the road. We have a full-time team that just does moving of pianos. And then we have the admin staff, and then we have technicians who are working in the workshop repairing and restoring pianos.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask you in terms of moving pianos, because you can't just have anybody moving them, can you?
Oh, yes, you can. And it can fall off as you go around the corner.
Yes, okay.
No, moving a piano is, because it's an instrument, and because it's actually delicate, it's advisable to try and get a professional person to move it for you. To stabilize it, so that the keys and the hammers don't move, and that the piano doesn't fall over when it's put on the truck and so on.
Yeah.
We have special equipment that we use for moving pianos.
Okay.
And a grand piano specifically has to be taken apart and put on its side on a special skid, as we call it, before it can be moved.
Mm. Raymond, do you yourselves have a website that we can give our listeners?
It's www, of course, thepianoman.co.za.
You see, he knows that one. Yes, Raymond, thank you so much for chatting today.
Tomorrow, it's been a real pleasure, and I look forward to hearing from any people who might have questions about pianos. Mm. We're always there for advice.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you.